The Bible mentions Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And notice verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now this is our text for the morning, verses 12 through to 20. He says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest to all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent forth for the defense of the gospel. Notwithstanding, every way, whether it's pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Now it's talking about the salvation here of deliverance out of his predicament, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, and as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for this passage of scripture written over 2,000 years ago, Lord God, or about 2,000 years ago. And we know, Father, that it is still living today. And so, Father, I just pray and ask that you'd help us get a grasp and a handle on this testimony of Paul the Apostle and what it means for us today and what it means for the church today and every single one that's trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that through this passage of Scripture, you'd get a hold of our hearts to understand what he means, Father, particularly in that last verse, that Christ be magnified in his body. And so, Father, we ask and pray that you'd have your word edged in our hearts this morning. I pray it be real and genuine, Lord, living and alive, that we may be a people that will be comforted and challenged and, Father, exhorted to go out and live for the glory of God and for the gospel's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the main purposes Paul writing to the church at Philippi was to thank them for their support in the gospel. The church at Philippi delivered some funds through the hand of Epaphroditus, that some say that he was one of the pastors there, to go and help Paul be relieved in a physical way and at the same time encourage him as he was there bound in chains in a Roman prison. And Paul takes also the time not only to thank the church, but to mention that he's actually praying for them. He's praying a specific point, but in a nutshell, just put it down a little bit. Yeah, it's okay. That in a nutshell, he will have them presented perfect or mature already till that day of Christ, till he come again. So we see that his prayer was specific, that they'll continue to serve Christ till the day he come back again, that they'll be faithful to the end. The ministry which they were engaged in, the gospel ministry that they were part of, Paul's prayers that they'll continue to abound yet more and more, and that they'll continue on to the day of Christ. But then now he comes to give him, if you would, a missionary update of what was taking place. He would basically share the current condition of his circumstances. The church loved Paul the Apostle. They would have been concerned for him when they found out that he was in a Roman prison. And the news came to them, and they would have been concerned, and Paul now writes back and lets them know of his current circumstances and how God is using that to advance the gospel. Now, more than anything, we see here that the church was no doubt behind him and for him in every sense of the word. Paul's desire as a gospel preacher was to get the gospel in all places, especially in places that didn't hear the gospel, but now his desire was it so it would go to Rome. He was desperately wanting to go and preach the gospel in Rome. He was in other places, and actually Rome was the hub of the great empire. Rome was the key city of its day, and if Paul could reach Rome, he would reach millions for Christ. And going to Rome was very important, part of Paul's schedule. He actually writes in the book of Acts, he says in Acts 19, I have been there in Jerusalem, then I must also go to Rome. And from Corinth, he writes to the church at Rome, so as much as it is in me, he says, I'm ready, I'm eager to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also. Paul went to Rome to preach, but found himself in a Roman prison. The record of these events, if you'd read them in your spare time for the sake of time, we won't reflect, but they're found in Acts chapter 21. It begins, Paul is arrested in the temple in Jerusalem. The Jews thought that he had defiled the temple by bringing Gentiles in. The Romans thought he was a rebel, if you will, an outlaw, running, and he was on the wanted list. And so Paul became a target of both political and religious conspiracy. Everyone was looking for Paul. Their eyes were upon Paul. And he remained as a prisoner in Caesarea for about 2 years. And then Paul finally appealed to Caesar, which was the privilege of a Roman citizen, if you will. He would then be sent to Rome to stand before Caesar. So finally, he has his time to stand before Caesar, and they put him on a ship with other prisoners. Remember that voyage that they took, and there was that big storm that broke out caused the ship to be wrecked. And it was there that Paul demonstrated great courage and faith, and many saw that Paul did not, even in the times of storms, doubt his God. It was amazing. That account in itself is worth looking into. But after 3 months of waiting on the island of Malta, there Paul headed for Rome and stood before before Caesar. And from a human standpoint, we look at the life of Paul and how he wanted to go to Rome and would say, man, that's a failure. Didn't really get to do what he wanted to do, is preach the gospel in Rome. Now he finds himself in a Roman prison. You failed big time, Paul. Or from a perspective from the church, that would be somewhat sympathetic to his situation and would think, man, Paul, you're in prison. You don't get to finish your missionary journey, you know? You don't get to spread the gospel and finish the course. Now, that could have been sympathetic to his predicament or what's taking place. But one thing was for certain, the church were not ashamed of the bonds of Paul. They weren't offended of his imprisonment. They weren't afraid of being identified with Paul. They weren't worried at the least of their reputation. They didn't care about that. All they cared about was Paul couldn't finish preaching the gospel there in Rome, which what he had a great desire to do. You know, it's sad today when a preacher of the gospel is rejected and accused for hate crimes, because he preaches against sin and he preaches against the evil one and so forth, and is accused for hate crimes and being indifferent to people's needs and so forth. But it's not a surprise to us that the world hates gospel preachers, and Jesus said that. But the most concerning part is when Christians reject gospel preachers for being too harsh. and preaching repentance and so forth. And sometimes people get offended by the gospel and they want to blame the preacher for it. So you'll preach too hard. Or you preached a condemnation message. Well, you know, if you preach the whole counsel of the gospel, you have to begin that Christ died for what? Sin. You cannot tell the good news without telling the bad news, and the bad news is that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that's the beginning when you start pointing out the sins of the people. People just don't like it. They just can't admit it. They just, hey, you know, why don't you leave those people alone? However, Paul's response to the church was, look, I want you to understand that I'm doing just fine. You know, I might be in prison, but the gospel is still going forth. And it's still going forward. He takes the time to tell them, listen, don't worry about me and don't worry about the mission. It's still going forward. And it's not being hindered. Actually, what's taking place in my life? It's helping the gospel spread even further. Wow, sounds like Joseph, doesn't it? When he was sold into slavery, doesn't it? Sounds like Genesis, the last part there, the chapter 50, when he said, you perhaps meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. Yep. God can turn a horrible situation and turn it around for the cause of Christ and for the gospel's sake. You know, understand God is not the author of evil, but God can use evil to turn bad situations into good situations, especially for the gospel's sake and for the sake of those souls that are perishing. God is in the business of doing that. There's no doubt about that. But our attitude and our response toward hurtful, harmful, and unreasonable circumstances, that will make a difference whether we would help the gospel or hinder the gospel. Now, God at times uses unusual means to help our gospel witness. It might not be the best way that we'd think, but God has unusual ways, and this way, which he chose in Paul's life, certainly made an impact in Rome. I want to give you three things this morning that help Paul shine the gospel in the dark day of Rome. Number one, his prison cell. Number two, his persecutors. And then number three, his predicament. First of all, look at the first one. Notice Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "But I would ye understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." His prison cell. Some would call it his chains, his bond. He was in prison. The word furtherance means the progression or the advancement of something. It means the spreading of or the profit of. I heard it put like this. It means pioneer advance. It is a Greek military term referring to the army engineers who go out before the troops to open the way into new territory. And isn't that what John the Baptist did? Pave the way for Christ. You know, God uses the little things to open up a way for the gospel to do greater things in the lives of people. Did you know that? Remember, God used John the Baptist, and a man of God once said, the same God who used Moses' rod, Gideon's pitchers, and David's sling used Paul's chains for the cause of Christ. This reminds me of a place that had taken situation that had taken place in World War II. Many of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy. They were hiding some Jews in their home. Finally got captured and caught and put in prison, or in the barracks, if you will. And the barracks in which they were living in was infested with horrible fleas. And Betsy was trying to convince Corrie, we need to thank God for these fleas and for these barracks. Corrie Ten Boom couldn't. She said, I cannot thank God for these fleas. And her sister Betsy was persuasive and says, we must. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, we must give thanks in all things. Rejoice in all things. And then Corrie knelt down and gave thanks with her sister. And so it was that time that that barracks, they only found out later that that barracks was not watched by guards very rarely because of the fleas that was infested in that place. They didn't want to go in there. So what that did is gave them an opportunity to pray, to read their Bibles, and to be a witness in the barracks. Thank God for fleas. You know, as many a times we look at our circumstances, and we say, oh, how horrible is this? And God says, no, I can use it for the cause of Christ. I can use it to spread the gospel. When you think about it, Paul wasn't really bound. He was free. He was free to use his circumstances to spread the gospel. He didn't complain about his prison cell, about the tough, hard beds and the hard pillows and the food, how they're just simply worse than aeroplane food. He didn't complain about all these things. He didn't even see him complain, not one little bit. He didn't even care about these things. That alone, my friend, that alone talks about a spirit-filled man that is simply focused on the gospel and the glory of God. We're not even in prison and bound, and sometimes we complain about what we eat. And this man wouldn't even see not one complaint. You know, his testimony, Paul's imprisonment was a testimony to all. Notice verse 13. He says in Philippians chapter 1, he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. You know, your stand and my stand for Christ can impact the unsaved. He was a testimony to the unsaved and to the saved. Verse 13 talks about he was a testimony to those that were unsaved. And when you look at the life of Paul, you would have no problem identifying with the fact that this guy was absolutely sold out for the cause of Christ. He had no problem with identifying with that. You knew that this guy was done and dusted, finished. He was a man that just wanted to advance and further the kingdom of God, even if it meant his discomfort. Paul said, my bonds in Christ are manifest. Paul was not in prison because he didn't pay his taxes to Caesar. Paul wasn't in prison because he tried to defend himself while someone was buffeting him. They actually beat him up. He didn't defend himself. He took it for the cause of Christ and found it actually as a great privilege. No, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. Yes. Oh, fancy that, preaching the gospel of peace, the gospel of good news, be imprisoned for it? Come on, not in our day today, not when the church houses are filled with these prosperity preachers. I'm sure the gospel gives you some sort of, you know, feeling that everyone wants to run to it. Well, everyone at least that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and hates their sin. But if you preach the proper gospel, you'll be persecuted. By the majority. I'm telling you, by the majority. It's in the Bible. And Jesus said in the Beatitudes that if they speak well of you, woe is you. Woe is you. I don't think Paul the Apostle went out looking for a fight. I really believe Paul the Apostle, all he wanted to do is see people saved, but because he preached, listen, a pure gospel, he was put in prison. The devil wants to stop the preaching of the gospel. You say why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. That's why. He wants to stop the preaching of the gospel in all places, in the church, outside of the church, in prison, outside of prison. The devil wants to do all that he can. Oh, listen, we had about 7-8 prison opportunities and prisons that were getting the gospel in about 10 years ago. Now it's down to 3. Wow. Our world is not getting better in accepting the word of God and the gospel. That's getting worse. People hate the gospel, majority of them anyways. And not only that, but they hate those that preach the gospel. Paul was imprisoned, but his testimony, for the gospel's sake, but his testimony spoke volumes. You know, by the way, can I just say, Paul wasn't a foreigner to prison ministry. He wasn't. Remember the church at Philippi, one of their members and their families, he was a prison guard. Paul met one of the church families through a prison guard that he met at Philippi. Remember that with him and Paul and Silas? The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? How do you know about that point? Oh, because the gospel in Philippi would have, like the gospel in Rome, it would have went in all places, but you know what would have turned the head of that Philippian jailer? At midnight, my friend, at midnight, they weren't complaining. They were singing to God. They weren't complaining. And the Bible says that all the other prisoners heard them. Yeah, it's amazing that you can be accused and falsely abused and beaten and put in prison and you're still thanking God for it. And you're praying on behalf of those that God will put in your way. This is out of the ordinary. I mean, this is just not normal. It's a miracle, if one would call it. Paul wasn't foreign to prison ministry. He basically used every opportunity that he can to reach people. Remember, as he went into that prison, many would have asked, you know, the prison talk. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but then, you know, when you do prison ministry, you're tempted to say to the prison inmate, what are you in for? And the inmates say that one to another, what are you in for? What are you in for? Can you imagine Paul the Apostle, Silas, the prison inmate, said, oh, what are you in for? Maybe many of them knew what they were in for, but we just tried to help a demon-possessed girl. That's all we tried to do. We tried to deliver her from the bondage of sin and the bondage of the devil, and we wanted her to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Can I just say to you something this morning? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's right.
What's wrong with that? You know, when someone preaches against evil and the devil and Hollywood, oh, here we go again. What's wrong with that? Those things that only promote hate against our Savior and an evil way of thinking, and then yet the Bible promotes good, salvation and deliverance. No, that's too much. You don't want to be too much now. I think that you're one of those fanatics. Well, Paul was and Silas was, and they were in prison and they were praising God. And it made the Philippian jailer head spin. You know what it means, head spin? Man, I'm telling you something. Being buffeted for the gospel's sake and had an opportunity to run, but didn't. Can you imagine the prison doors are open and all these prison inmates are running and there, Paul and Silas are there, so, hey, we haven't left, don't worry, we're still here. And they would have fallen to his feet, what must I do to be saved? Man, went to this house, the prison guard, the Philippian jailer, if you will, and his family, his wife would have, you know, just washed the wounds, if you will, of Paul and Silas. Their back was, you know, ripped open because of the gospel's sake. And we had a family there that embraced Paul and embraced Silas, and they weren't ashamed of his bonds. They weren't ashamed. So what are you talking about? I said, we live in a day and age that if someone gets offended, someone just simply complains or does something, or you're arrested. Oh, what did you do, preacher? What did you do? That's the day we live in. We don't live in a day where the majority of the world just hates God and hates the gospel, and we understand that. But there we have a household that embraced Paul and Silas and knew that they had done nothing amiss like the Lord Jesus Christ in respect of their offense. I believe the Philippian jailer was impacted because of the testimony of both Paul and Silas. I mean, think about it. They were singing and praising God and praying at midnight in prison with their back ripped open for the gospel's sake. You hardly get any Christians praying. Coming and stopping and coming and praying and pleading to God. You hardly get Christians singing outside of prison. Let alone being in a Roman prison, in a prison cell. What's wrong with our day and our thinking today? Paul was a true testimony, listen, of God's grace. In the palace of Caesar, there would have been many that would have been influenced for the gospel because Paul stood for Christ. His prison cell was an avenue to furtherance the gospel. Listen, and it started with the soldiers that were guarding him. You know, Paul had special privileges. Did you know that in prison? He had one guard looking after him the whole time. In Acts chapter 28, verse 16, notice, and when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, prisoners plural, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. He was chained to a soldier, one-on-one. Yeah, if You know Paul the Apostle, you know what he would have done then?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what an opportunity. Yeah. Talking about a silver platter, and you can't go anywhere, mister. You're all chained to me. You've got to hear it one way or another. And you can almost see maybe some of those guards that every 4 hours they'll change shift. They'll take over. Oh, Paul would have had a wonderful time preaching to different soldiers that had different shifts. And some of them, no doubt, would have been, oh, man, I just can't wait to finish my shift, man. Or others would have mocked him. Oh, just shut up, Paul. Shut up. But others would have thought, man, Paul, tell me more. Tell me more. Can you imagine the impact he just had just on the soldiers? Whether they liked it or not, he still impacted them for the glory of God and for the gospel's sake. 4 hours, one guard will leave, the other one will be replaced. And there was no doubt Paul was preaching to them. The gospel was also penetrated through the household of Caesar. Some would have trusted Christ. Why? When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, have a look at verses 22 of chapter number 4. He says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. He says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Man, you're talking about some people in that palace would have trusted Christ? Well, it looks like it. And he would have told them about that good church over there that started, you know, that church that was supporting him, that church that was all behind him and didn't doubt him for a second. He would have told them, and say, you know what, Paul, we've never met these people, but hey, listen, say hello to them. If people like that support someone like you, they're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
They're preaching the gospel. Oh, it's only the principle of how beautiful are the feet of those that share good tidings. Wow! How beautiful are those feet that come and carry the gospel. Well, they're beautiful to those that receive the gospel, isn't it? Now, did you know that your life and your living testimony as a Christian can make a difference in people's lives? It's the way you react to the trials of life. It's the way you react to circumstances. You can either be bitter or better. You can say it's not fair, or hey, listen, this is an opportunity to preach Christ. This is an opportunity to stand for the Lord. You know, the Bible says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, these people have been abused and misused and bashed and persecuted, and they're not moved. They've got the joy of the Lord in their on their face, and they still go out preaching the gospel. There's something different about them. Here, I'll come and tell you what's the difference. It's Christ the Lord.
Amen.
That's the difference. It's Jesus Christ. He's done a miracle in my heart.
Yeah.
And let me share my testimony with you. Let me share how gloriously He saved me. A man of God once said, sometimes God has to put chains on His people to get them to accomplish a pioneer advance that could never happen any other way. Did you know sometimes trials will give you a great opportunity to share Christ that you never had before? Whether it's in prison, whether it's in hospital, wherever it may be that you're going through a tough time, God says, I could use that to spread the gospel. Did you know that? The dying days of my mum, when she was doing dialysis, you know, when you're on dialysis, your kidneys are failing and they need to be cleansed regularly, and she had to go and get dialysis. And several times, a couple of times, I'd walk into that room, and I'm telling you, there were all people gathered around doing dialysis that looked like a death room. You see people, they're dying. Their face are white, and you see, and you can only hear my mum's voice from one room to another room sharing her testimony. And many times she'll say, Charlie, come over here. There's one person I want you to speak to. And sometimes I think to myself, man, that her current situation in her dying days, God had given her opportunities to be a light in that dark room of death. Paul's imprisonment was a testimony to all the unsaved, but also notice the saved. Notice verse 14. and many of the brethren in the Lord, this is Philippians chapter 1 verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, Paul's chains not only helped him engage with the lost, but it helped encourage the saved. Many of the believers in Rome would have been encouraged when they saw what Paul was going through and then saw his stand and his attitude and his joy. They would have thought, man, what an encouragement that is. It reminds me of John Huss. Back in the Reformation time, you know, John Huss was a priest that came out of the Catholic Church because found out that salvation is by grace through faith alone and not by the sacraments. And he stood against that teaching, and the church said, look, listen, if you don't recant, and he had a lot of people listening to him, and he said he would preach at the church that salvation is by grace alone. And I'd put him in a court, if you will, before the king even, and they say, hey, listen, if you don't recant and you give away this heresy, we're going to burn you to the stake. He says, I can't. It's true. And they put him on the stake and they burnt him. And you know what happened? He sung a hymn while he was being burnt for the cause of Christ. Testimony came about that many other people were bold to speak the word because of him and his testimony. Because the Spirit of God that lived in him, that gave him the courage to sing while he was being burnt, it had to be from the Spirit of God and the grace of God, by the way. The same Spirit that was in Stephen's life when he was stoned can fall and say, God, lay this not on their charge, is the same Spirit that we find in Christ our God saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what the song that he sung? Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And it was said later on that many that were burnt to the stake that followed him, so many people were encouraged to the point where they had to actually cut off their tongues so that they won't sing when they were being burnt. That's a true story. And here, Paul the apostle, being beaten, being put in prison, mistreated, encouraged other believers to speak the word without fear, with boldness. They were encouraged to say, oh, the Spirit of God is with him. The grace of God is with him. We want that in our lives. We want to stand for Christ. We don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We want to make a stand and proclaim Christ to others. In verse 14, they were much more bold to speak without fear. Now, the word speak is much meaning than just preaching in a particular time. It means to go about and speak at all times, everyday conversation. Paul would have been the talk of the town. They were talking about what was taking place there, and his trial was coming up. It would have been the headlines, if you will, in the newspaper. Everyone was talking about what was taking place in the life of Paul, and they would have capitalized on it. Well, the church, the believers, the church at Rome would have used it to share Christ with them. Do you know why Paul's in prison? Here, come, I'll tell you why. Yeah. Man of God once said, discouragement has a way of spreading, but so does encouragement. Because of Paul's testimony, the believers in Rome were bold to a bold witness for Christ. You know, our trials may not be as dramatic or difficult as Paul the Apostle, but listen, our trials can still be used for the cause of Christ.
Yeah, that's true.
At 6 weeks of age, Franny Crosby was blinded. 6 weeks of age. But even as a youngster, she was determined not to be confined by the chains of darkness. In her time, she began a mighty force for God by her gospel songs and her hymns. She decided that she was going to sing for the glory of God and encourage others. I'd like to notice the second thing that helped shine the gospel in the dark day of Rome. not only Paul's prison cell, but notice now Paul's persecutors. Have a look at verse 15 of Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Not then, notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice." You know, there were believers in Rome, that were opposing and undermining the ministry of Paul. Some preached not in a very sincere way, hoping that Paul will get in much more trouble. They didn't care about souls. They didn't care about the purpose of the gospel spreading out. They preached so Paul can be in deeper trouble and end his life. They wanted to get rid of him. So if they would preach in a way that was perhaps more aggressive and maybe a bad attitude, they could expose Paul the apostle and say, "Oh, well, you know, that's just the message that we carry." There are people that preach for their own selfish purposes, and we call it the prosperity gospel, don't we? And sometimes you may go into those churches and you can hear a little bit of the truth of the gospel, and someone may get genuinely saved. And there are people who just want to make trouble and do not have a heart to see souls saved. They have governed by envy and strife and money and possession, and they want a following. The word here, Paul uses, if you will, some out of contention. This word means to campaign for office, to get people to support you and oppose the other person. You know, when they campaign for political agendas and they try to get up there, you saw it in the last election of America, how they just trashed one another. They just backbited and falsely accused one another of different things so that people could see who's better than the other person and so forth. They were talking trash about them. What's a political agenda? They just wanted a following. It wasn't, "Hey, listen, do you know that if you die today, do you know where you go? Hey, listen, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior?" No. To them it was, "Who do you follow, Paul or me? Who do you follow? Who are you going to support? Paul, who was in prison, or us?" Well, they're preaching the gospel. You know what's sad today in our day? That there are following of Calvin more than Christ. Did you know that? And the debate in churches today are so strong that who do you follow? "Oh, we're reformed. We're Calvin, man. We're going to follow that way now. It's a new trend, you know. Many people are getting on the bandwagon." Oh. For what reasons? I don't know. God knows. But for Paul, hey, we follow Christ and we're going to preach Christ. And for those people that were preaching Christ and they did preach Christ, I glory. I don't care what their motive is. I don't care not one bit. You know why? Christ is being preached. And I glory in that. And that day will come. They're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account. I'm just glad at the fact that the gospel's getting out. Can you see this mindset? Can you see his heart? He didn't care whether his critics were giving it to him, whether they liked him or not. He didn't care about defending himself and coming to the point of trying to just simply fight back and be simply striving with these people that just didn't really care about the gospel. No, he left them alone. And he said, "I'm just thanking God. The gospel's getting out. I thank God for that." You know, when you care for the cause of Christ and you're gospel focused, you'll just see your persecutors as a stepping stone for the cause of Christ. When you're gospel focused. But when you focus on yourself, man, you can hinder the gospel. When you focus about being hurt or being mistreated or being falsely accused and all the rest of it, there's no way that you can use the gospel for the cause of Christ. There was no envy in Paul's heart. It mattered not that some were for him and some were against him. He didn't care. All he cared was the gospel going out. That's all he cared about. By the way, Paul wasn't going to be moved by his critics. He had his eyes on the Lord. And you know what proved it? Notice verse 19. He says this. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Through how? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, my circumstances and my predicament, God will take care of me through the prayers of God's people and by God's power. He was not going to be moved. No. Because he knew that God was for him.
Yeah.
And the church at Philippi were praying for him. He knew he had good support and the Holy Spirit of God was with him and in him. I would like to notice the third point that helped Paul shine the gospel in the dark day of Rome. Not only his prison cell and not only his persecutors, but notice now his predicament, or you can even call it his praise. This is absolutely verse 20. This is amazing. Have a look at this. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body." Look at, whether it be by life or death. Man, Paul's talking about his current condition here. He's in prison awaiting his sentence, and if found guilty, off his head, like John the Baptist. See you later. That would have perhaps got him for being a traitor to the Romans, or whatever false accusation that would have taken place. He was awaiting to be sentenced, and if found guilty, bye-bye. And to that, knowing that he has moments to live, perhaps his departure is at hand, yet he speaks, it doesn't really matter. Whether I live or die, Christ is magnified.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only stand back and say there's something different here. I mean, there's someone here that's absolutely, listen, sold out, like to the cause of Christ. Like, I'm talking about finished, sold out. You say, why? Because it absolutely believed that the gospel was the power of God on the salvation, and it saved his sin-sick soul. You know what? Paul actually believed he was saved.
Yeah.
And he believed in Christ. He says, "I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me until that day. My soul, which I've committed unto him, I'm persuaded, there's no doubt about that. For me, if I die, I'm promoted to glory. But if I live, I live for Christ."
That's right.
Wow. It's amazing. This attitude is absolutely remarkable. That's the kind of attitude, listen, that promotes the gospel.
Yeah.
This attitude here says, doesn't matter if I live or die, is the very thing that promotes the gospel. Doesn't hinder it. It's the very thing that pushes the gospel, advances the gospel, furtherance the gospel, advancement, this pioneer, making the way for other believers, and hence where we are, for other Christians have paved the way in the past because of their stand for Christ. But listen, not because of their stand for Christ, but because they were sold out Christians and they didn't care about their life. They didn't care about whether they lived or died. All they cared about was Christ and his glory and the gospel going out.
Right.
It's the attitude that says it doesn't matter if I'm in prison or outside of prison. Christ is preached.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if people like me or they don't. I don't care. Christ is preached. And because of Paul's prison cell, Christ was known. And because of his persecutors, Christ was preached. And because of his predicament, Christ is magnified.
Amen.
What a life. What an absolute life. And Paul knew that his body wasn't his own. And his focus was to magnify Christ. That's all he cared about. Christ being lifted. Christ being lifted. Exalted. Increased. And he decreased. That's all he cared about. Man of God once said, does Christ need to be magnified? After all, how can a mere man being magnify the Son of God? Well, the stars are much bigger than the telescope, and yet the telescope magnifies them and brings them closer. The believer's body is to be a telescope that brings Jesus Christ closer to people. That's all it was. Just a little vessel used in God's hand to shine for his glory, and that Christ will be magnified. And oh, if Christ be magnified and be lifted up in your life, my friend, he will draw all people, good or bad, people that will support you and people that won't. If Christ be lifted up and you live a gospel-focused life, oh, and your theme is for me to live and into Christ, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Oh, closing, Paul being in prison or even dying, either way, he wanted to magnify Christ. And you can say, come on, you can sit here today and you can say, how can a person have this mindset? I mean, seriously, pay attention. Don't miss this. How can this person think like this? How do I have this mindset? Well, according to Paul, he wasn't a prison to the Romans because he was already a prisoner of the Lord. And according to Paul, he wasn't going to die, so to speak. He was already dead.
Yeah.
He already gave up his life a long time ago, and he said, I'm crucified with Christ. I die daily. The problem is, long time ago in Paul's life, he said, I'm done with mundane living, callous dreams.
Right.
I'm done with this nominal Christianity. I want to live for Christ.
Amen.
And that means dying to self. That means denying what you want to do and carrying that cross and following Jesus. Paul had that mindset that Christ is going to be magnified through my body, by my life, listen, and by my death. John the Baptist had the same mindset. Yeah, he did. He said, oh, the one that comes before, the one that's going to come, I'm not even worthy to do his shoelace. And he must increase and I must decrease and get out of the picture. The disciples had that mindset. When the other disciples were beaten for Christ because they shared the gospel, they went out rejoicing, saying, oh, mate, we found it a great privilege that we were absolutely persecuted and beaten for the cause of Christ. They found it an absolute privilege to live for Christ. Moses had that attitude. Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what? Moses valued greater riches in living for Christ. Says, Egypt, I'm done with it. And you know what was in Egypt? Moses had it all. Says, I'm done with it. How did Moses know about suffering for Christ in the Old Testament? What was there? He wrote of him. The scriptures testify of Christ. They were looking for his coming. They were fulfilling. They were people that would fulfill scripture by their types. It was all about the Old Testament. Listen, it was all about Christ. This mindset Paul was having, and Moses and all the rest of the people, you say, oh, they're missionaries and prophets and priests. Now listen, this same mindset he was encouraging the church at Philippi to have. Have a look at verse 28 in Philippians chapter 1. Please look there. You say, what do you mean? The same mindset of being a prophet, a priest? No. The same mindset of just you being a Christian, living for the cause of Christ and denying yourself. That's all. He says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know, they were going through persecution. Did you know that they were being persecuted for their faith? They were. And Paul was only encouraging them to keep striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. You know what Paul was doing? Just continue doing what you're doing. Don't let persecution, don't let prison cells, don't let any other thing, even your own life, get in the way. And here's why. Verse 29, for unto you it's given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but what? But also to suffer for his sake. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. Anyone that has received the gospel, lives the gospel, and shares the gospel will suffer for Jesus Christ. I've titled this in this message, living and dying for the cause of Christ. Amen. Is the responsibility of every Christian. And Paul wants to encourage you. Through the life that he lived, just keep going. Don't be moved.
Amen.
Don't let the prison cell move you. Don't let your persecutors move you. Don't even let your own life distract you from being a witness for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.